Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
But good morning, everyone. It's great to see you on Commitment Sunday 2019. Woo, we have a full house. I love that. Just want to check if everyone's awake this morning, because I don't like preaching to sleepy people. So, is everyone awake this morning? Yeah. I feel like there are some people who are still asleep, so let's wake them up. Is everyone awake this morning? Yeah. Oh, okay, now we've got some awake people in the building. I love that. Well, good morning, and it's great to see all of you here. And I love the words of that amazing song. I want to leave a legacy. How will they remember me? I want to leave a legacy. How will they remember me? Now, that's something that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. And as Pastor Daniel mentioned, we are actually in the middle or are now at the end of our series for Kingdom Builders. And we've been exploring Kingdom Builders through the lens of legacy. What do we want to leave behind? And it's a question that we've been asking ourselves. Now, you would have noticed that the video that played just before Chitra came on, there was a line of people and there were stones, and they passed down stones from one person to the next, all the way down the line. And in essence, that was stones being passed down from one generation to the next. And you see, each person, each generation, each people group, they added their stone to what had already gone before. They added what they had to something that was already there before. And each stone represented stories and miracles and testimonies. It represents steps of faith, of promises passed down from generation to generation to generation, one to the next, until all the way at the very end, there's this little child who inherits a rich and wonderfully glorious legacy. How will they remember me? Now, if you're here for the first time, let me add my welcome to you. It's so great that you're here. Lovely to have you with us. And hey, maybe someone invited you here this morning and you thought you were going for brunch, but you ended up in church and you're like, wait, what am I doing here? That's all cool. Listen, if you don't even believe any of this God stuff, that is totally fine by us. We're just glad that you're here. We want you to feel really, really welcome with us. And we really hope you enjoy your time together. And, you know, I want to reiterate this Kingdom Builders part, that's not really for you. I'm talking to the members of our church family here this morning. You see, we believe that as a church, God has given us a mandate to truly be the love of Jesus, to truly show the grace that Jesus came to show to people who don't even know him yet. And that's an opportunity for all of us as church family to invest into today. But you can feel free to just ignore that part completely. But I do believe that the wider picture of what we're talking about today is relevant to all of us, regardless of where we are in our faith. You see, how will they remember me? That's a question we should all ask, because you see, we all leave something behind, whether we mean to or not. People will remember us. And the question is how? How will they remember me? Now, I want to do a little bit of show and tell as we get started this morning. So I brought you a couple of pictures, okay? So here's the first picture. This is my grandma. That's my grandma. Her name is Beryl. That's Grandma Beryl. And my grandma lives in Sri Lanka. And back in the day, she used to be a really famous home cook. Like, she used to be on TV and she used to be in newspapers. Kind of like Sri Lanka's version of Maggie Beer. So that's my Grandma Beryl. And last year, my Grandma Beryl, she collected all of her experiences, all of her knowledge over all these years, and she fulfilled a lifelong dream of hers to publish, to write, to cook, and to publish her very own anthology of recipes. So she published a cookbook, and I think we've got a picture of the launch there. That was her signing, as you do. Grandma Beryl just signing some autographs on some of the cookbooks that she was publishing and selling. And, oh yeah, I forgot to mention, my grandma turned 90 last year. Wow. Grandma Beryl is 90. That's her on her 90th birthday celebration. So that's Grandma Beryl. Now the next picture, these are her two daughters. That's my aunt on the left, and that's my mum, Renuka, on the right. Now, my mom, she definitely inherited Grandma Beryl's cooking gene. Let me tell you, I remember for all my life, our house has been filled with these amazing foods that my mom would cook and, you know, just recipe after recipe after recipe. Even now, I'm living in Australia and she still sends me pictures of the new recipes she's tried out. So a few weeks ago, she tried to make chicken dumplings and they came out great. I think her rolling skills are really good. And then, you know, a few days ago, she made creme brulee and she always sends me, "Wish you were here, darling," and which is very cute. But if I lived in that house, I would be the size of the house. But that's my mom, Renuka. And last year, now my mom's never done professional catering in any way, shape, or form. She's never done a professional cake order in her life. But she decided that for Grandma Beryl's 90th birthday, that she was going to undertake making the cake for said occasion. And this is how it turned out. I know, not bad, right? For someone who's never done a professional cake order before. So that's how that cake turned out. And then, if we go down the line, there's me. Third generation culinary flair? Well, for those of you who know me, you know that my idea of a great time in the kitchen looks a little bit more like this. It's true. I mean, praise the Lord for whoever invented Uber Eats. It's the best thing on the planet. Those culinary genes didn't quite pass down to me, so I inherited the love of eating, not so much the love of cooking. And if I ever have children, I'm probably not going to pass down any great legacy of cooking. But you see, as I watched my grandma and my mom over the years, they passed down a lot more than just their cooking skills. You see, when they're gone, I will remember their cooking, but I hope I live out their legacy. See, over the years, I watched them as they passed down stones of grace and forgiveness and love. I watched them over the years work hard. Even when the going got tough, they kept going. I've watched them push boundaries, fulfill dreams, even at the age of 90. You see, they passed down stones of sacrificial giving, of pouring out selflessly, even when it cost them, not just to their own family, but to anyone who came into contact with them, because they believe that people matter, that people are valuable. See, they passed down stones of unwavering faith in God. I've watched my mom live through a terrorist bomb attack and come through the other side so full of grace, so full of strength, so full of courage. I may not be able to do what they did, but I hope I can be a fraction of who they were. I know how I will remember them. And the question I get to ask myself this morning is, how will they and they and they and they remember me? I want to leave a legacy. How will they remember me? And I want to take us to a story from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the first part of the Bible. It's before Jesus came to this earth. And in this story, we're introduced to the Israelite people. Now, the Israelite people were God's chosen people, but at this point in history, they're enslaved in Egypt. They're suffering much persecution and they're suffering much hardship under their Egyptian masters, and they're enslaved there. But you see, God raises up a leader named Moses, and he uses Moses to free the Israelite people, take them out of Egypt. And God performs one of the greatest miracles of all time. Maybe you've heard of it, the parting of the Red Sea. And he makes the waters of the sea part so that the Israelite people could cross over to the other side. And just as the Egyptian soldiers are coming after them and they come into the sea, the waters come back together and the Israelite people are saved. And you see, God had promised the Israelite people that he was going to give them a land of their own. And they aptly named it the Promised Land because God promised them a land. You see where I'm going with that. And so after 40 years of wandering around in the desert, which is a story for another day, they are so very nearly there, very nearly near the Promised Land. They can see it. It's just around the corner. They're so very nearly there. It's within grasp. It's within reach. It's within striking distance. Apart from a teensy little problem that looked a little bit like this. the River Jordan. You see, between the Israelite people and the promised land, there was this river that they had to cross. Now, on any other day, it would have been fine, but at this point in time, it's flood season. And the River Jordan is swelling high. It's treacherous. It's impossible to cross. But are there any people here who know that if God brings you to something, he's going to take you through? I don't know if there are any people who've experienced the faithfulness of God in this place, that if God brings you to something, you can be sure that he's going to take you through. And so God tells Joshua, who's the new leader now, after the death of Moses, he says, hey, Joshua, I've got a plan, Joshua. Here's what I want you to do. I want the priests of Israel, I want them to take up the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the presence of God. And I want them to go and I want them to stand in the middle of the river. And so the priests, they obeyed and they said, okay, we will go. And they take up the Ark of the Covenant and they come right to the edge of this roaring, gushing river. And just as their feet touch the edge of the water upstream stops. And the river stops flowing. And there's dry ground for the Israelites to cross over to the other side. Does that sound familiar to anyone? And then God tells them this. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 2, he says, hey, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. Now, the Israelite people were divided into 12 tribes, and God wanted every single tribe represented. Tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you will stay tonight. Stones? You want us to pick up stones, God? Not quite sure if you understand the picture here, Lord, but, you know, river, treacherous waters, flooding, possible drowning, and you want us to stop and pick up stones? The promised land is just there. It's just on the other side, and you want us to stop and get stones? But you see, these stones were very important. And in the next few verses, we find out why. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 5, it says, Joshua is telling the people, each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. These stones are to be a memorial for the people of Israel forever. You see, these stones were meant to serve as a reminder. The stones were a memorial to the miracle that God had done among them that day. And it was important enough for God to instruct them, hey, before you cross over, before you forget, go and pick up some stones. Because you see, this is what God knows. God knows that as human beings, you and I, we are so inclined. We have a propensity to forget and to forget quickly. We forget, we don't remember. Do you know one of the most underrated spiritual practices of this day? It's not reading your Bible, it's not singing, it's not praying, it's not fasting, it's remembering. We don't remember how God came through. We don't remember that God answered that prayer. We don't remember that God was there. We don't remember that God moved. We forget. But you see, when we remember, when we rehearse, we keep the memory of the miracle alive. We fuel our faith. You see, if you stop and you think a little bit about your life, how many times have you seen God move in mighty ways? And then you get to something small and you get stressed and you get anxious. God, what am I going to do? Why has this happened? How am I going to get through this? And we forget that the same God who parted the seas is the same God who will part the river. If he did that to the sea, what will he not do with the river? You see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. He's not shifting like the shadows. If he came through for you back then, what will he not do for you now? And I want to speak to some people here this morning. Perhaps you're facing some struggles, some challenges that look a little bit like the River Jordan. It's impossible, God. How am I going to cross it? How am I going to get to the other side? But remember, God is the God who parts the seas. What can He not do with your river? And maybe for some of us this morning, we need to get back to picking up some stones, remembering how God came through, remembering how God answered your prayer, remembering how God moved in your life, remembering that God was there, that He has never left you and He will never leave you, that He has not forsaken you and He will never forsake you. Perhaps for some of us this morning, we need to pick up some stones so that we don't forget and so our children will always know. Perhaps we need to pick up some stones. And do you notice that in verse 3, God tells them very specifically, hey, tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right from where the priests are standing. Not from the edge, not from the shoreline, not from the riverbank, not from the side, no, right from the very middle. The proof of God's provision, the proof of His faithfulness, the memorial of the miracle had to come right from the very middle of the Jordan. Because you see, that's where faith takes you, right to the very middle, to the middle, to the center of the journey, to the middle of the adventure, to the very heart of the journey. And the miracle comes to those who are not afraid to get into the middle. The miracle comes to those who have enough courage to get into the middle. And perhaps, maybe you're here this morning and you say, listen, do you know what? I don't know if I have stones. I don't know if I have stories. I don't know if I can't remember. And perhaps for some of us this morning, the call is to not stand on the riverbank anymore, to not stand on the edges of the shore anymore. Perhaps it's time to get your feet wet. Perhaps it's time to move into the middle. You see, the Israelites, they had to take a step of faith when they got in the middle of the river and they started picking up stones. But you see, the truth is, if we want stories of faith, we need to take steps of faith. And perhaps for some of us here, we don't have stories because we haven't taken steps. There's a whole world of people out there, and perhaps even in here, who don't know that God loves them, who don't know that there is grace and love and hope available to them, that there is life and life in abundance, even life forevermore. And you see, there's us, and we need a generation of people who are not going to be afraid to get into the middle. We need a generation of people who say, listen, I'm here, I'll get my feet wet. I don't know how this is going to turn out. Hey, I don't have all the answers. I don't know the end from the beginning, but I know that God is with us. And if God is with us, I want to get my feet wet because I don't want this story written without me. There are some people here who need to rise up and say, listen, count me in. I want to be a part of that. I want to get into the middle. Hey, I don't know. I'm not sure. But hey, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to step into the middle in faith. Are there any people here who are willing to take God at His word, who are willing to believe the words of the Bible when He says in Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. In Deuteronomy, it says, the Lord Himself will go before you. You do not need to be afraid. You do not need to be discouraged. I will go before you. I will be with you. In Psalm 23, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Are there any people who believe the words of Romans that says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Are there any people who are willing to step into the middle? Are there any people who have a cause big enough to say, hey, I want to get my feet wet. I want to take a step of faith because I want to see a great story of faith come to pass. Perhaps for some of us this morning, it's time to get into the middle. And I wonder if the team could join me on the keys. And I'm nearly done this morning. But I want to highlight another verse before I go. Later down the story in verse 20, it says, Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until all had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know and that the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. At Gilgal, Joshua, he took the stones the people had collected. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the 12 stones, and he put them together, stone by stone, one by one, and he built an altar there. Joshua took the stones, and he used the same stones, and he built an altar. An altar in the Old Testament, it symbolizes a place where God met his people. It was a place, it was a memorial built for a miracle that happened that day. It was a display of God's splendor and his glory. Now that was then. Where do we find altars in our day and age? In churches. We find altars in churches. I mean, not in our church. We don't have an altar, really. We're not a traditional church in that sense. But do you know what I realized? I realized that our whole church is an altar. This whole place is an altar. It's where people come to meet God. It's a memorial to a miracle that happened 14 years ago with a group of university students. It's a memorial to the miracles, the stories of life change like Rob's that happen week in and week out. Right. It's a display of the splendor and the glory and the goodness and the kindness of God. This whole place is an altar. And today, you and I, we get to come and build an altar too. We get to come and build this altar. We get to bring our stones, the stones, the memories, the testimonies that we've collected over the years along the way. And we get to bring them together and build an altar. I remember when I first walked into this church and I felt lonely, and my small group, they made me feel at home. I walked into a barbecue at Stephen and Sally's house and they embraced me like I was family. I remember when I went to young adults camp and I watched someone, tears streaming down their face, give their life to Jesus. I remember when Wasi got baptized and her story of just transformation and grace and joy. I remember when I came to church one day and I was feeling low and the person on the door hugged me. I remember when I preached my first sermon here. I remember when the mezzanine was built, a testimony of God's goodness. I remember when we launched the 5 p.m. service because we know in faith that where there's space, God will bring people. I remember when we raised so much money for Be Rich just so we could give it away and bless the people in our community. I remember. These are my stones. They're my stones. And there are so many more that I haven't even mentioned. What are your stones? And these are the stones that I bring this morning to build an altar here. I come to build because my prayer is that as I bring my stones and I place it at the altar, that many more people who don't know God can come and pick up their stones too. And on and on and on. And the generations that come after us We will leave a legacy behind of love and of grace and of faith and of hope. Not just here, but for children and their children and their children and their children's children. We get to come and we get to build an altar here. We get to say, hey, I want to be counted. I want to bring my stones. You see, I've received so much love, so much grace, and I don't want to just collect my stones. I want to pass my stones along. I want to pass that love along. I want to pass that grace along. I want to pass that generosity along. I don't want to just collect stones, but I want to pass it on. So what will you bring today? Remember, God told them, hey, every tribe must be represented. Send a person from all 12 tribes. Will your tribe be represented today? Will your family be represented? Will you come and will you build together? You know, we've talked a lot about stones this morning. But the greatest of all stones was the first stone, our cornerstone, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2, it says this, look, I am setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. You see, a cornerstone is the first stone that you lay on a foundation. And God laid the foundation of our faith as Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know where you've come from today. I don't know what you've heard about God or what you know about God. But the truth is that God loves you, that He loves me, that while you and I were still sinners, that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross so that you and I would never have to pay the price nor the penalty of sin ever again. The stain of sin was removed for us. We were washed clean. We have a clean slate. God doesn't want to condemn you. He doesn't hate you. He doesn't want to punish you. He just wants to love you. And He extends a hand of grace to you. He doesn't want to judge you. He doesn't want to make you feel bad. He just wants to love you. And He showed us this love by sending us the foundation of our faith, the first stone, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And see, you and I, we don't just leave stones behind. We are the stones. We are the living stones. And the legacy of the love of the cross of Jesus Christ is written on our lives. How will we pass it on? And what will we do with it? You know, the Rocks Church, it's ironic. We've talked about stones and our church is named the Rocks. I wasn't planning that. But you see, the truth is that this church, it has many stones of remembrance, many stones of testimonies, of stories, of life change, of people coming and finding God and having their lives utterly transformed by His love and by His grace. Stones upon stones upon stones, stories upon stories, testimonies upon testimonies upon testimonies. But we build this church on the greatest rock of them all, the foundation of our faith. That is the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. So today, I wonder if you'll give me my commitment card. Thank you. This is my stone today. It's my commitment card. It's my pledge to say I want to build. And this is me. This is me giving of who I am. This is me giving of what I have. And the same opportunity is available for you. We can build something great together, an altar for the glory of God. But it all starts with a stone. And this morning, we're going to take a little bit of time to do just that. We're going to allow the Spirit of God to speak to us and say, hey, how can I be involved? How can I get my feet wet? How can I move into the middle? And if you're here and you're new or you're a guest, or maybe you're here and you're like, oh, church, money, oh, here we go again. What a cliche. Can I just give you permission? You do not have to give. There is no pressure. We don't want you to feel like you have to do anything here. Please, take it from me. You don't have to give. And we've even made a plan for you. Because you know, if everyone's filling out their forms and you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to have to give now because I can't, what am I going to do? We've made a plan. What we want you to do, if you're a guest here, if you're new, if you don't believe in God or you don't want to participate, here's the plan. We want to take that card, take your pen, and we'd like you to write down anything you want prayer for. We want you to write down a prayer request. And what we're going to do as a staff is we're going to find those cards and we're going to pray for you and your situation tomorrow morning. So we can all get involved. We can all be a part of this. Because you see, in a little while after you've filled out these forms, we're all going to come and we're going to give at the front here. But we're going to do it together as a symbolic gesture. And we don't want anyone to be left out. So whatever you write on these cards, we want you to feel included. Because this is a family, it's a body, and we come together and we get to build together. So you can start doing that right now. You can start filling in the forms. But actually, what we'd advise you to do, if you can, is to actually fill in these forms online. And the link is www.therocks.info. The link is up behind me on the screen. If you can take your mobile phones out and you can start doing that right now as I'm speaking, we'd advise you to do it online. But of course, you can use the forms that you found on your seat as well. And I just want to take you through the form really quickly. It's pretty simple, it's pretty self-explanatory, but we just want to make sure that you write your full name, you and your spouse, if that's applicable to you, all your details. And there's a little box there that says tick here if you have completed the online version. And that's because even if you complete the form online, we'd love for you to just tick that box anyway, because we want you to be a part of coming forward, and we're all going to come and we're going to pledge our commitment together. So even if you fill it online, just tick that box and you can bring your card and we can all be a part of building together. You can choose either a monthly giving or a one-time giving or both. And then you can just choose how you want to give this morning and just make those details really clear. So that will help Mary when she's trying to decipher all the forms. And you can just take a few moments to do that right now. And as you're doing that, our worship team are going to come and they're going to help us and they're going to sing. But please know that you are in no way pressured to participate right now. This for us is more than just about money. This for us is about the future. And this for us is about building together. And so please feel free and don't feel under any pressure to do anything that you don't want to do this morning. But take some time, listen to God, chat to whoever you need to chat to. And let's get ready and let's get prepared to fill in our forms together. Thank you, team.
You're the God who makes the giants fall. You bring down the walls of Jericho. You're the God who gives the miracle. We believe. You're the God who parts the ocean wide, just to bring us closer to His side. You're the God who brings the dead to life. We believe. Oh, we believe.
We're going to continue worshiping in this place, but if you're ready and if you've filled out your form and you've ticked that little box or you've written out a prayer request, then feel free to move out of your seat when you're ready, and we're all going to come together as one family and we're going to build something great together. We're going to pledge our commitment to see many, 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 many more stones come to reality. Those stones represent lives and they represent people, and we know that God is so in love with His people. He loves the people of this city, in this place. And we're part of partnering with God to build His church. So come on, Why don't you stand to your feet, and when you're ready, you can come and you can put your pledge in that basket right there. But let's worship God together.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.